Welcome back to the Love Sport Late Shift with me, your host, Patrick Christie's. Do give us a call, 0208 70 20 558. I do genuinely want to hear from you, even at this late hour on a Wednesday, and you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. Now, I am joined on the line by Tony Gosling, who's an investigative journalist. It comes after a story that we're delving into now, which is about Digital Secretary Matt Hancock. You may remember him from creating that rather creepy app that he did himself. He's unveiled plans for online safety laws that will tackle cyberbullying, child exploitation, extremism, and other, and this is where it gets a bit tricky for me, other legal and illegal harms. Government, ministries, charities, and the public will work together on a white paper later in 2018 that will set out the legislation, with Hancock expecting the laws to be ready within the next couple of years. Tony, are you there?
Hi there. Yes, I'm here.
Fantastic.
I think this is a bit of a double-edged sword, isn't it? I mean, obviously, there's a tremendous amount of online abuse, and I think really what's happened is the tech companies, you know, your Twitters and your Facebooks, have just not actually got a robust enough system to deal with it. And because it's too expensive for them to deal with it, they've got to actually employ human beings. They can't rely on computers to do it all. Mm. And actually that would start eating into their profits. So they're just turning away from this problem.
So you're it sounds, I mean, against these internet safety laws, are you?
Well, I'm actually against the thing is that I think here is what this government has been masking, and they've shown this by its charter, right?
Yeah.
Because this is actually enabling the state, the government, you know, which is, yes, it's elected, but actually most of the top civil servants, which is the secret services, aren't. They're what you would call the permanent government. And this charter, I think it shows what their agenda is, that they actually want to use the internet to snoop on as well. So that's what bothers me most about this legislation. He's talking about something which sounds like a no-brainer, it sounds like a good idea, but when they start to push around these big tech companies, they will be, I think, actually starting to intervene in the way they're operating, not necessarily in the way we want, but also to start to set, I mean, because my personal experience is that I'm a freelance, I do a lot of investigations in places where the mainstream media don't like.
Good on you for doing that as well, well done.
Well, I think, you know, they're areas of government, in certain areas of government, that with the BBC, people like this, actually do fear to tread. So I look into some of these things. I've done a lot of work on the 7/7 London bombings, for example.
Okay.
Which, I mean, we don't need to go into the detail of it, but suffice to say that there hasn't been a public inquiry into that. All we had was a bunch of inquests when there should have been a public inquiry, at which there was no jury. So whether the people who were involved in that, the victims, etc., had justice, well, I think you have to just talk to them, and you'll get an answer, no, we didn't, you know, because I've spoken to many of them.
I mean,
so these sorts of investigations, this is what I'm trying to, the point I'm trying to make, some of the work that I've done has actually been taken off by people like YouTube, by Google, who own YouTube, simply because it doesn't fit with their community guidelines, which really irritates me, because they never tell you which community guideline you've broken.
Yeah, absolutely. The risk for me in this wants to be able to browse a history. Now, apart from the obvious ways that could be proved particularly embarrassing, I mean, isn't that a bit of a slippery slope that we're getting into here? I mean, presumably, if they really wanted to, they could access it anyway, but this almost puts it into legislation, and we will never know how far that can go. And isn't this almost creating a bit of a 1984 style scenario?
You're worse than me.
I know. But
you're
absolutely
right. No, of course. And the reason that this is so worrying, this Snoopers Charter particularly, and admittedly, this is not the charter, but it's amongst the three or four pieces of legislation which are being planned to sort of bring everybody up to date with the big mod in technology. The government's realised, oh crikey, there's loads of stuff going on, we've got no laws to govern it at all, and so people are just doing what they want, and often that can be seriously harmful and dangerous. So, I mean, the fact of the Snoopers Charter is all they've done is they've brought into law what the GCHQ and the security services have been doing illegally for years. Mm. So, you know, there would be another way of dealing with all that, and that is to actually send the police into GCHQ and say, well, that actually was illegal. We're going to have to interview you about that and possibly charge you with offences. You know, effectively, that's what these are effectively hacking offences that they've been doing. But it might say, oh, here's your browsing history. But just imagine if you're an MP and someone gets hold of your browsing history. They might sell it to an opposing newspaper. They might send it to an opposing party.
We regularly hear leaks, don't we? We regularly hear leaks from the civil service and things like that about very sensitive government documents. Now, what's to say that they can't do it with this and run some kind of smear campaign against an MP? Or not even just that, if they could access a high-flying professional or something. Surely this does leave people quite vulnerable.
Well, look, if I had... Theresa May's browsing history, right?
You'd be bored to death.
I could sell, if I was a ruthless person, I could sell that. The other problem, of course, is lawyers who are involved in court cases. So if you could sell the browsing history of a lawyer who's involved in a court case to the opposing party in the court case and say, oh, he's been looking at this, he's been looking into all that, so that's the sort of arguments he's likely to use in court. None of this comes under the Snoopers Charter. That's one of the major problems, and of course for journalists as well. We don't want the people we're investigating to know we're investigating them. You know, big corporations, banks, etc., you know, and there are enough crooks out there who are prepared to sell this information. I'm afraid we can't. What we're saying is, what you have to say is, do you trust the government? Yeah, and I think it's healthy for people to say, actually, no. We need to have, you know, proper judicial process involved. So, in other words, so the courts can say to the government, go and find this person's piece of information, because we've got a reason to believe, tell a judge, we've got a reason to believe. The problem is they're starting to look into everybody and build up a massive profile on the entire population.
Yeah, and I think it's risky, because once you introduce powers like this and give powers like this to the government, you can't then take them back, you know? And it does actually become a consideration of, well, is this the first step of, you know, maybe something more serious going on? But look, stay on the line with me, because I've got lots more to go into this with you. You're listening to the Love Sport Late Shift with me, Patrick Christie.
Boyzone, just like my rear end after spicy food.
West Ham, Charlton, Spurs, QPR, Arsenal, Fulham, Crystal Palace, Brentford, Chelsea, Millwall, Watford, AFC Wimbledon, non-league. Whichever is your team, we've got it covered. The Fan Show, back tomorrow night from 7 with 7otv.com on Love Sport.
This is the Love Sport Late Shift with me, Patrick Christie's. Do give us a call, 0208 70 2558, or tweet us at Love Sport Radio. I have got Tony Gosling on the line. We are talking about this story that's just broken about internet safety laws. The government basically, as it would seem, wants to increase their powers to be able to make the online way safer place. Now, one of the things they want to do, Tony, is make age checks more prevalent on, you know, on all the obvious sites, so but on maybe even various things that say you're 18 rated movies and stuff like that. But at the minute, you know, you just have to tick a box, don't you, that just says, yes, I'm over 18. I mean, what can they really do to make that any more strict, do you think?
Well, I think it's impossible, don't you?
Well, yeah,
I don't think it is feasible to, you know, the internet is so anonymous that anybody can just go onto a website and have a look. And by ticking, saying is that I think I should be able to look at this. It doesn't really have any proper age check on it, which, you know, actually, maybe we should be making the internet a fairly, you know, sort of something which you opt into and you prove that you're over a certain age to move into another part of the internet, possibly. That's one potential way of doing this. And I think that, you know, we've got this massive amount of information out there, some right, some wrong, some tasteful, some totally tasteless, and there does need to be some way of saying, well, certain people, I think we need to protect kids. But, I mean, at the moment, there are all sorts of things that parents can put on their computer to limit what the kids can see. And I think that's probably it's important to be able to, quite a useful tool. But look, the main problem here that they're talking about is, and I think that this new legislation will be dealing with, is looking at people who are basically trolls on the internet, and they go and they attack people on the internet, and there's nowhere near enough being done to stop them. I mean, effectively, you can stop it yourself by simply blocking the person. I mean, that's not a difficult thing to do on any of these social media sites.
Can't people just grow a bit of a thicker skin, maybe stop being so easily and block them themselves, or is the problem worse than that?
I think the problem when these are organised groups that are almost gang stalking in the internet, where you get sort of 30 or 40 or more people turn up and start attacking somebody verbally and being abusive, those people should, you know, and aren't always, but some they should be losing their accounts. They should be losing any kind of account associated with their email addresses and that sort of thing. But at the end of the day, this all needs to be somewhere transparently done, because internet companies themselves can abuse these processes by banning people they shouldn't be banning. Just because, for example, say somebody like me writes an article about Google and it says that Google is doing something terrible. Well, actually, they are doing a few terrible things. We don't need to go there. But Google could then say, oh, we're going to ban this person. You know, they'd be very simple. And by the way, I sent an article in a few years ago about Google, which was very critical of the way that they were stopping people suing them in America. My editor never published it. And I got back to the editor on the Tuesday, the week after. I said, didn't you like the article? She said, what article? And it was because I'd sent it to a Google Gmail address, her Google Gmail address. She never got the article.
That's a bit weird,
you know,
isn't it?
And I think to myself, well, Google obviously had a look at this, you know, and they just deleted it from her inbox.
Gosh,
she checked her spam box and everything. It wasn't there. So I sent it to her work email, and she got it straight away, and it was published the next day.
It is all a bit nice. Out of this where I can see this working, right, is we all know that the encryption is a thing. So on, for example, WhatsApp messages are encrypted. It is widely used by terrorists, actually, to converse with each other. Yeah. It's a big, very, very widely used. So that's how they get a lot of their communications out there. Now, the idea for me...
Look, I don't believe that. Sorry to interrupt you,
but I don't think
terrorists hardly use the internet at all. I don't think they do. I think this is a bit of a myth that the terrorists use the internet. They don't want to be traced. They will speak, you know, in an alleyway or in a pub, face to face, and do their dirty work well away from any communications.
Well, I think there's been a lot of cases of people, for example, in Syria and in places like that, that have been conversing to try and radicalise people over here and get them abroad. So, I mean, I think they are doing that. But
I think it's being used to recruit people, yes, but not necessarily by who we think, by all sorts of, like, you know, shadow intelligence agencies, possibly the Russians, possibly the Americans, you know, using these things to try and gain intelligence. But anyway, sorry, I'm interrupting you.
No. Well, look, I was just going to make the point of these encrypted things. Surely, maybe there is some merit in de-encrypting them, just because, you know, if it's encrypted and people that are using it know it's secret, know it's abuse, government should be stepping in to de-encrypt, if that's even a word, these kind of things.
But you know what the principle here is? Whoever wants to decrypt somebody's email or whatever and snoop on them, whichever government agency it is, they have to go to a judge and they have to say, look, we believe this person is a criminal, a terrorist, a crook, and here's why. And the judge can then sign a warrant for them to do that surveillance. And I see absolutely no problem why they shouldn't just be able to do that. It's a very simple thing. They could even do it. They could even do it online through the courts. You know, they can do it within a matter of hours or minutes if they needed to. But we can't have this mass surveillance of everybody. This is leading down a very dangerous totalitarian route that George Orwell warned us about. And actually, if you think about it, it's what happened in Nazi Germany in the run-up to the Second World War, is the Gestapo were going around taking loads of details on everyone, and people were just giving them their details. They had no idea what was coming, what with the Holocaust, the roundup of the Jews, and all this sort of thing. So gathering these massive amounts of information on people can be used actually against the population, which
are our government really going to do that? I mean, is that really where we're heading there? You know, would our government, our British government, Theresa May there in 10 Downing Street, is she seriously plotting to build all this information against us and create this kind of totalitarian state?
Personally, I don't see Theresa May as some kind of Hitler figure, actually. But Who knows who's going to come along in the future? Nobody knows. And I think we've just got to make sure that the checks and balances are in there so that if someone does come along and decides they want to abuse the power in this country, whoever they might be, whether they be an elected person who we see on the TV or whether they be people in the security services, the security agencies working, God forbid, with terrorists or who, those are the people that we need to make sure that everybody that gets put under surveillance, that there's a good reason for it. We cannot have a whole population under surveillance. Otherwise, 1984 becomes inevitable.
Gosh, it's worrying stuff. Now, I've got a couple more questions to ask you. Can I just ask first, are you going to be all right to stay on the line for a little bit longer than expected? Because this has been fascinating stuff. Or are you in a desperate rush?
No, it's okay, that's fine.
Fantastic. Right, I'm going to delve into one thing here that, for me, the obvious standout with this is that police resources are very, very stretched at the moment. Now, we all know that. Now, realistically, you know, have police got the time under this legislation to be sat there sifting through my internet history, claiming investigating every element of online bullying and abuse, really? I mean, could they not be better spent tackling knife crime or something like that?
Definitely. But the thing is, there's a place for both. And I think actually the best sort of journalism and the best sort of policing is done actually out on the streets, talking to people, gathering human intelligence. This is why we have things like the anti-terrorist hotline. I only wish that the MI5 would actually use the anti-terrorist hotline, because almost all of the attackers, and certainly the three main key people in the last year's terrorist attacks, had already been reported to MI5 using the anti-terrorist hotline. So I think we've got, a pretty useless security service over here. And that's one of the reasons that I'm so sceptical about this whole mass surveillance business. I think that you know, if we had good people who were able to identify and stop terrorist attacks when they're being reported in by the public, etc. But, I mean, at the end of the day, I'd like to see more actually out on the streets. I don't think you can do a proper job of policing the country sitting behind a desk. And I think most police would agree with that. They would much rather spend more time out than sitting behind a computer screen.
Yeah, I mean, Mike, well, another concern that I've got with this is that there are hackers out there. Yeah, there's loads of hackers. We know that people have actually managed to get into like the Pentagon and stuff like that. People have managed to do all sorts. Now, if the government is in possession of all of our data, all of our personal data, etc., etc., you know, surely that's at risk then of some kind of hacker getting involved and just leaking
well, yeah.
It, aren't they?
They're going to leave it on a train, aren't they? On a portable hard drive or on a memory stick. This is quite feasible. They went through a whole spate of this about 10 years ago. Is large amounts of government secret data being left on memory sticks on trains and on laptops?
Yeah, what
and that
was
sort
the, there was a one. There was someone left a dossier, didn't they, on a train not so long ago, marked top secret. And you know, you see people coming out of Downing Street sometimes with their file turned the wrong way around, with all the, you know, the have your cake and eat it. Brexit thing being one of the most recent ones, that was absolutely ridiculous, wasn't it? I mean, to me, it just seems like, you know, you've got the potential now for people who are much more skilled, your Julian Assange of this world, perhaps, people that are much more skilled with a computer, someone like Rain Man with a laptop, to be able to go and access all this personal information from people and pass it on.
Look, Julian Assange is doing, I think, an amazing job, really. And what he is an online sleuth. So he's going round on the internet, and he's actually going through great big long boring documents that we wouldn't bother to go through, many of us, and finding the key facts in there and crystallizing them out and throwing them in the faces of the criminals who are in the Western society. Now, they're not all, you know, talked of as criminals. They're not all been taken to court. Some of them have been within the government structures of one sort or another. In other words, they've been involved in things like cover-ups, that kind of thing. So, I mean, he's done an amazing job, and it's not surprising that people have tried to shut him down. He's effectively the most radical publisher in the world. And even if you don't agree with him, people should be supporting his right to publish, because that we desperately need investigative journalism, and we need a radical press, because far too much of our mainstream media in this country is just sort of, I mean, you see the Witness, all the royal wedding stuff, it's just oh, this is wonderful, the wonderful establishment. And it's almost like the establishment is running a lot of the press because it's not anywhere near as critical as it should be of the failings, the Grenfell Tower-type failings. You know, the City of London bailout, that appalling, the biggest crime, I think, in history in Britain is the 2008, nearly £1 trillion the government gave to the banks to keep them all going. And then they lapped that up and they used that money to lobby for even more power. So these sorts of things, I think, people like Assange have been doing a great job in actually, you know, naming the names and shaming people, even if we don't still don't have the power, it seems, to arrest some of these blue blood bankers and take them to the cleaners and get them into jail, which I think some of them definitely deserve to be, you know, particularly those who've been involved in the terrorist financing and money laundering, like HSBC, people like this who've had cases against them in America, but they seem to manage to get away with it here in Britain.
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? And I mean, I like you, Tony, you're not a man that sits on the fence. I mean, the only good thing about, there is a good thing, potentially, I'm intrigued to see what you make of this, that could come from this, is that companies that don't adhere to whatever these new rules may be on bullying and things like that could get fined 4% of their global turnover. Now, when you're talking about companies like Facebook and Google, I mean, goodness knows, pick your figure. I don't have a calculator with a screen big enough to put that number on it. You know, couldn't that money then, I suppose, be put into public services and stuff like that? So, surely that could actually be quite a good way of going about it. If you fine these companies for not adhering to the to the rules and regs, it could benefit society in that sense, couldn't it?
Yes, certainly. That is if we've got a government that is actually spending money where it's needed, desperately needed, on things like our schools and hospitals and on our infrastructure, our roads, our potholed roads and this sort of thing. The trouble is often governments these days are spending them on their own little pet projects, like things like this ridiculously £111 billion HS2.
Yes,
project.
What a load of rubbish that is.
Thank you. I'm glad you agree with me. I actually know a guy. He's a former Swiss banker, and he actually worked on financing railways when he was in Switzerland. And when I told him that the quotes, the estimate a couple of months ago for HS2, the real cost, you know, because these things always spiral after they get started.
Of course they have. They've got people. They've got people working supposedly round the clock on full time wages, doing HS2. And what have they been doing for the last couple of years? The thing hasn't been built. It's nowhere near being built.
Well, the idea is to make everyone think that the project is still viable and is still going. I don't think personally that it will happen. But anyway, when I told him the estimate for this railway was $111 billion, he just laughed in my face. He said, for that, you could build a railway around the world, he said, for that. And these people are basically fleecing us using a supine government that hasn't got the backbone to stand up to the people who are just literally stealing as much as they can from the public purse. And I think that's one of the main problems, is that there's a tremendous amount of contracts let by the government. I mean, we're just where I am here and talking to you from Bristol, down the road we've got this Hinkley Point C power station that they're talking about building here. Now, that is going to be apparently financed by Chinese money. But
yeah, it's always a bit
risky.
The only
trouble is the electricity from it is going to cost more than double all of the rest of the electricity plants in the country, and they think that this is a viable option.
Well,
I don't even think it will happen, you know.
Well, maybe not, but look, just staying on topic now, and I want to, very quickly, because I am going to leave you in peace soon, but just very quickly, talk to me a bit about the dark web, because those people that don't know, you can basically buy guns, drugs, all sorts of people, probably, on the dark web. I mean, if the government starts going into legitimate news, online sites and getting into people's data, surely that just drives people to more illegal elements of the illegal dark, shady corners of the internet, doesn't it?
Well, I don't know much about the dark web because all my material is actually up on the internet and very much in public view. But what I can say is that, yes, these are the sorts of areas I'd like to see shut down, actually. And if there are transactions going on, I'd like to see them on ordinary websites. I mean, I hate to even advertise eBay, but people like that. If there are other transaction sites going on, then tax should be watched. And those are the sorts of areas of the internet that are, if any, that I'd like to see closed down. Particularly, you know, those being used by organised crime. And let's face it, this government and particularly the Metropolitan Police have not got the handle on organised crime that they should.
Well, on that note, Tony, sorry to have to cut you off, mate, but time is escaping us. But Tony Gosling, you have been an absolute delight. Investigative journalist Tony Gosling there, everybody. You are listening to Love Sport Late Shift with me, Patrick Christies. Give us a call, 0208 70 20 558. I'll be back with a review of the front pages shortly.